Ever tried reading while jogging, cooking, or even juggling flaming torches? Yeah, doesn't end well. But with audiobooks.com, you can conquer books without the circus act. Dive into over 450,000 titles, including more than 10,000 free ones. Get hooked on a bestseller, find your next obsession, or finally read that classic you've been avoiding since high school. And here's the inside scoop. Sign up today for a free 30-day trial and snag your first three audiobooks on the house. Sign up for your free trial at audiobooks.com/podcastfree today. That's audiobooks.com/podcastfree.
Hey everyone, it's Billy Morrison and Ozzy Osbourne here. Our new show, The Madhouse Chronicles, is dropping this April. Join us as we watch and react to the maddest internet clips. What do we discuss, Ozzy?
Drugs, rock and roll, aliens, all that kind of shit.
Drugs, rock and roll, aliens, and all that kinds of shit. Visit osbournemediahouse.com for early access. What do you say? Do you think it's the wildest show on the internet?
Oh.
You're in the madhouse now.
Hey, it's a special episode, man. Thursday for Capes and Cows. Normally we're on Friday, but we're doing a WrestleMania special tomorrow. So today, Capes and Cows, you got myself, you got Coy, you got Winston. We are ready to go. And we have a lot to talk about, man. Supergirl, looks like we have a new director. And there's some other big casting. It looks like we are getting Silver Surfer. And the casting has the internet aflame. Is that a word? Should be. Could be. Is now.
Flamed on.
We did get a look at the Punisher. He's back, and it looks like he's bloodied up and ready to go. John Bernthal is back as the Punisher. Some behind-the-scenes stuff with the Daredevil and the Punisher. So we're excited about that one. Talk about that. You're brand new to the channel. You've never been here before. Subscribe to said channel. If you are into the UAP phenomenon and you are interested in news from Monday through Friday, well, then join the Down to Earth channel. We are approaching 17,000 subscribers right now, trying to hit 20. I think we can get there pretty soon. But you got to hit that button. A lot to talk about there. So Apple Podcasts, Spotify, anywhere podcasts are found. Let's do the thing, man. Just like Angela Bassett did the thing. We are now doing the thing. It is Capes and Cows, me, Winston, and Coy. Here we go. Fleetle-a-dee, fleetle-a-doo. Welcome back, everybody. Capes and Cows. It's myself, Coy Gendro, Winston A. Marshall.
I thought you were stronger.
Me?
See, you wouldn't get that
it's
reference.
Invincible, huh?
Because you just won't watch Invincible.
But I guessed it, didn't I? So I did get the
knew it.
I did. But, he's seen two episodes. He's got the tone. He's got the vibe.
I got it.
Yeah, he doesn't need to watch the rest. He's had enough.
I knew it. I knew exactly what you're talking about. So the question is, what will I watch first, Invincible or Shogun?
I need to watch Shogun. I feel like a piece of crap that I haven't. Well, honestly.
I think you'll be a little hard on yourself on that.
Not with it being that good. Me being like, I have been so deep in Japanese culture and media for so long. So to hear that there is a show that is bringing a lot of the Japanese like media sensibilities into this American show, and that it's Game of Thrones level epic, I'm screwing up.
All right, you blew it. Okay.
I can own that. Can you own the fact that you still haven't seen Invincible?
You're seeing self-deprecating just to throw it at you. I see the long game now. He's like, let me make this real heavy. That way I can pivot.
I'll tell you. So do I feel bad for not watching these shows?
No, you don't.
No. No, I don't. I have enough going on. I had to watch the first Omen last night.
I'm so sorry.
Did you change your thumbnail? Because I loved the original one.
Oh,
the chaotic out of the theater one was so funny.
It
was literally like you at the AMC.
It was just me at the AMC, but I did change it because I really enjoyed that one. It's the same picture.
Okay.
It just now has the titles and the poster
cleaner.
On
it. Okay. Because it was a great, I literally was like, I saw it in the first 40 minutes and I was like, that's a keeper. That's the move.
Now, that movie in general, it's not a comic book thing, so we won't get too deep into it. This is what I said in the end of the theater. I think there's going to be tons of horror fans that love this movie, and it is a well-shot movie. It is a well-acted movie, and it definitely connects into The Omen itself. And there's some; it's very graphic. This is just not my type of movie. It just isn't. And people go, I'm not going to come to you for this. Smart, at one point I'm like, there's just a lot of throwing up and yelling and screaming going on, and then it's like it was so predictable to me. And I'm like within seconds I'm going, not seconds, but I think 15 minutes, I'm like, oh, well, that's clearly going to be the reveal. But they're trying to pretend that it's not going to be the reveal, and then it is the reveal. You're like, well, that's not surprising.
You gotta bury the lead a little better.
They don't. And then at the very end of it, it ends, and it's like, and then this thing. And I was like, well, yeah. That's what you...
You said that at the beginning.
It's a prequel to the movie. Anyway, so who cares? But people, I think people are going to... If you're a horror fan, it's not a generic horror movie, but has nothing to do with what we're talking about here today. Let's get right into it. Let's talk about this Silver Surfer stuff. Here we go. All right, Julia Garner. I know her from Ozark. She's fantastic. She has been set to play the Silver Surfer in Marvel Studios' upcoming The Fantastic Four film. Garner will reportedly play a Shalabal version of Silver Surfer. That means nothing to me. The Silver Surfer in the comics is the silver-skinned herald of the planet devouring Galactus. Galactus, sure. Anya Taylor-Joy was previously rumored for the role last year. While that was a reach, the reports of a female Silver Surfer are accurate and true in spirit to the comics, as several women have served as heralds of Galactus. Garner joins a cast that includes Pedro Pascal, Vanessa Kirby, Joseph Quinn, Evan Moss-Barak, and WandaVision and Monarch Legacy of Monsters producer Matt Shakman is directing the reboot that aims to shoot at Pinewood Studios. Yada, yada, yada. Okay, so let's start here. I think she's a fantastic actress. I think she's a wonderful actress. I think that you also have to pay attention, and this is me, and how I feel about a lot of stuff, whether it's Star Wars, whether it's Marvel. I'm looking at it as a business thing.
Mm-hmm.
If you look at this and you know that you have this discourse around right now, you're going to get negative press, because it's, which warranted or not warranted, sometimes majority of the time, not warranted, just hateful. You cast a woman, you cast a person of color, people lose their minds, right? The Silver Surfer, traditionally, correct me if I'm wrong, I know that there's versions, traditionally male.
Mm-hmm.
So my thought process is, if you're going to have this big, you know it's going to cause a discourse, and you're trying to launch this thing out there, why not do two Silver Surfers? Do the original, and then if you can get a talent like her, why not do both? So you say you're having two Silver Surfers. Unless she replaces the other one? Is that, I don't know how it works.
I assume they are. I think it's going to be set in a different universe in the 60s or something. That I don't think it's necessarily our timeline they're trapped in, even in the 60s. I think it's going to be multiversal, which I know you're sick of in the Marvel sense.
Yes.
But I think that's going to be their way to illustrate that the universe is different. I think that Norrin Radd is going to be the MCU Silver Surfer. Yeah. Norrin Radd's the guy. I think Norrin Radd's going to be how they're like, well, we're not in our world anymore. So right. I assume we're going to live with her in her universe for like 20, 30 minutes or however long they're in theirs, and then their marker of, wait, this isn't right, is going to be him. So I think we will get two, but not,
I mean, if that's the case, you know, sure, and people are going to lose their minds one way or another,
then it's a reveal.
Totally. And but that's the question, is if they're going to do that, right?
Yeah, that
and
is a question. That's just what I assume by the article,
right? And it's, and it goes back to the Pedro Pascal conversation we've had many times on this show. Did you cast Pedro Pascal because he's obviously an amazing talent, and he's people love him at Disney. People love him in general. He's super, you know, he's a great actor, and he had a great audition. You're like, that's the guy. Or is the rumor true where Kevin Feige walked into the room and said, whoa, this cast is too white, we need somebody else, and did that. Now, that rumor has never been confirmed.
It feels like such an internet rumor.
It was a rumor. I mean, Snyder reported on that one, right? So it was a rumor. But it's a conversation that at least we have. And so the question is, same thing. Mm-hmm. Is it, because if it goes back to what you just said, and the thing is, listen to this. Why don't we do this thing where we set up this, what's the, her character's name, the Silver Surfer?
Shalabal.
Okay.
I don't know her well.
And they're like, what if we set this up and we put it in the multiverse and we do this, and then we debut our Silver Surfer in MCU, and that's the creative edit. Then it's like, shut up, everybody else. Then that's that. Then it's a good plan. Or is it the reverse rumor side of it? Mm-hmm. We need to cast woman now. I don't know. I don't know the answer to that question. I'm just saying.
I think it's trying to hit two birds with one stone. I think that's your way of, she becomes the focus of this movie, and then we transition into Norrin Radd. And so you have the ability to say, see, we did do that. But then you also went back to form, so then everybody would have to shut up. But I think part of the problem is, when you have a situation previously where the MCU brand was a little more solid and there wasn't a lot of question marks, I think you could have done this and nobody would have batted an eye. They might have been like, well, that was an interesting choice, but sure. But because Everything is MCU because the box office hasn't hit the way that it's supposed to.
And it seems a little too common, right?
Because Feige has been pulling back. Because there's so much where it's like, we're in trouble and we have to pivot.
Yeah.
Anything that seems like it's trying to still do something, you're going to draw up a lot of like hater distrust. Yeah, right,
that's
now
my point. And I think that was an excellent point. And I think that's exactly right. That's my point, is that you're trying to build back right now. And it's like, look, it's okay to do. It's why I go back to my point, what I said before with if the rumor side of it. If you have a clear cut story and you're confident in it and you cast because that was the guy who nailed the audition, which very well could be the case, or same thing here. No, this is the story we need to tell. If that is what it is, then everybody needs to shut up. But the problem is, as you just said, they have not been delivering lately on the majority.
Yeah.
You got it, because back in phase 1 through 3, the majority was all on board. Yeah. Majority. Sorry, Corey. You
were I was just going to say, like, the character itself is super ethereal and otherworldly and is like a watcher. And so I love the Anya Taylor-Joy idea for a Harold. And I don't dislike the Julia Garner idea. She's not quite as, like, she feels like very of the earth versus Anya Taylor-Joy feels very ethereal.
She, right. So she's like, got Tilda Swinton thing.
She feels almost the opposite. Yeah. But I'm still very excited to see Julia Garner herself in the MCU. But my only thing is, if the character is going to be portrayed in a way that Julia Garner works for it, I have no issue. And I don't think we should make creative decisions based on trolls. Like, I don't think we should placate assholes.
No, I don't disagree.
I'm saying if they cast her because of good casting, we're saying the same thing.
I also agree with what you're saying. Like, you don't just say, well, we're not going to put a woman there because someone's going to make a video about it. Agreed. However, you also want to make sure that a majority of people in general, because there are as many fans that are not trolls, because that's the thing. Even if that's what's not fair in this space, too. Someone will say, like, oh, well, they don't want a woman in the role. No one's saying that. She is a fantastic actress. I want to see her in the MCU. I think she shines. I want to even see this version of Silver Surfer. I just think that it might be a mistake to do it first when you can introduce the character that we know. But on the flip side, being a devil's advocate to my own point, if the story, we haven't seen the movie.
Yeah.
And if you look at the movie, and if I watch the movie, I'm like, no, that's the story they needed to tell. But on the same coin, if I'm looking at it and I'm going, that seems like they could have put the original character in here if they wanted.
My only concern with my idea of the multiverse is if Julia Garner's only a placeholder as Silver Surfer, then then she's not in it a lot because they're setting up, then it's a waste of Julia Garner and her incredible skill.
Yeah.
So I just hope that they have an idea of a unique take on Silver Surfer that warrants either of the caliber of Anya Taylor-Joy or Julia Garner, and it's not just to be a checkmark.
I mean, there's also a possibility, and again, I'm always of the mindset, at least with creative, until you actually see the thing, you kind of have to shut the F up and just let it happen. Yeah. But again, we don't have that trust right now because of how stuff is going.
Right.
What if what this is, because we don't know what the story is right now, I'm not saying we're going to get a repeat of Rise of Silver Surfer, but what if her Silver Surfer is actually a villain? And so that's that. You're not wasting her in the sense that how many villains actually return in the MCU, with the exception of Loki, Killmonger for blinking of a second, and Thanos through like 3 films.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So that being said, like, if you want off,
Yellow Jacket came back as MODOK.
Well, wait, the other thing,
and then he was gone again. Shut the
He's an Avenger. He is an Avenger.
Well, but look at the other thing though too. I think it's also a disservice and not fair to the actress, who is wonderful. She's already getting just destroyed by the internet for what? For getting cast? It's like the same thing with Steven Yeun as Sentry. Now, we haven't gotten a full reason why, but one of the speculations was he's just like, dude, I haven't even started shooting this movie and the internet is coming after me for getting cast in it. F this. And the same thing with her. She is wonderful. She is such a good actress. And like I said, I think she should be in this. But no one is going to have a problem if it's like one of these things that you just, like, it feels like sometimes they're like, we'll just switch it here because you've been doing it. You've been doing it well. And you have, it goes back to the old point that we've had many times over, that if it was this thing, like back in the day when there was not a lot of diversity in Marvel, there just wasn't. And you're like, when are you going to cast a woman in a role? When are you going to, like, I get it, but it's not that anymore. It's just not anymore. But that's not to say once again, playing the same devil's advocate with my
for
point.
Yourself.
Yeah, the same thing, that I am not going to just say, well, it definitely should be a guy, because I don't know the story. I just am hesitant on it, because I could very well sit there and look up at the screen and going, they probably could have led with the traditional character here.
I don't think Stanley would ever expect in the future would be this focused on Silver Surfer's genitals, but here we are thinking about them.
Yeah, but wasn't the main? But it's like the same character. It's like almost like, what if they would have made, you know, imagine if they would have switched up and said, okay, for the Fantastic Four, we're gonna make Reed a woman, and we're gonna have Reed and Sue are gonna be. They're going to be lovers.
Those stretching abilities would be useful.
No.
I always thought about that about Reed, man. Yeah, that's why Sue
puts
up with
this BS. There's a reason Sue always came back. That's why Namor is the king of Atlantis.
No, he's on a trip to New York, and his wife's in California, and he's like, hey, what's that? Oh, hey, baby.
Some molecules.
But speak that point though. I think the internet would handle that well.
Oh, hell no.
I don't think so.
No, they wouldn't.
But I guess the only difference there, like, I get the metaphor you're making there. The only difference specifically is, like, it's not that you couldn't technically gender Ben Reed if you wanted to. It's just specifically the arrogance of Reed as a man, the smartest man on the planet. Like, it doesn't mean that people can't, it can't go either way. There was something very
specific
about Reed.
But you would get a pushback. You would get a pushback. You couldn't have the smartest woman in the world be arrogant?
And I totally understand that. And I know me just saying that already, people are coming for me.
Nah, no one would come after you. Did you see Naiad? Either one of you guys see Naiad? There was the movie about Naiad, the swimmer, who, and it was Annette Bening played swimmer, and you talk about arrogance and greatness and stubbornness and like that I'm just telling you that I understood your point. Absolutely. I'm just saying you would get a pushback on
it. There's also that's the thing. If you were going to do it, I would almost make the argument. This is going to sound weird. I would more gender bend Doom versus Reed, only in the sense of the relationship between Reed and Doom.
But either way, let's say it's Doom.
Sure.
Let's say it's Doom. That's my overall point, is that you would get people that were like, wait a minute, you can't do that. And you could cast, because that is the situation that we now, when I always talk about how fandom has become political, right? Because you guys, myself, you're going to want to say, when a casting happens, you're going to want to say, especially like, so let's say Dr. Doom is cast as a woman. You're going to want to say, that's great. This is a great actress. This is great. Let's try it. But even if you feel in your heart of hearts, Doom needs to be a dude, you feel hesitant to say it. Because if you do, you feel like, what, you don't think it should be a woman? Not what we're saying. We're just saying for this particular character, there's sometimes like the Little Mermaid, it's a mermaid. It could be anybody. Like, that kind of stuff drives me nuts, and that stuff happens.
I agree with you. All I was going to say with it, just as far as this theoretical conversation, if you were going to do anything like that, the reason why I was thinking Doom is specifically, since Doom always feels, I'm smarter than you, Reed. Sure. I do more than you, Reed, and yet somehow you get the glory. I could see that in the sense of, like, if it's the allegory of just, like, everything I've done, like, I've done, and still this guy is the guy. That's the only reason I could see, you know what I'm saying?
But I'm with you. It's less about which character. It just means, like, but the character itself.
I bring it back to why the Silver Surfer, the only reason I'm just like, whatever, is that because, again, ethereal, an alien, there's nothing that ever comes up at all about any of that. That's the only reason I'm like, okay, sure. But again, I think, like you said, from a business standpoint, if you're already in a situation where you have bad blood for other reasons, to bring any more negativity, that's potentially, even if it's just a loud minority doing
on
it.
On a property that you are trying to
use to relaunch stuff.
And to reboot. And there has not been a great Fantastic Four movie yet.
Right.
There just hasn't. Right. And people are excited about this. It's Kevin Feige's, like, he loves
Isn't
Fantastic
this his favorite?
Four.
His favorite?
I think one of, right? He loves
it. And it's a character set that the audience has wanted a great film from. Like, it's not like they've been waiting for a movie that doesn't have potential. Like, this is a property that that really can be special. I don't know. I really think it's we're in a unique position of brand awareness versus show business versus optics. And that's what worries me about the internet having so much. I don't like that the internet has any sway in decision making.
Sure.
But yeah. I understand where you're both coming from.
The only exception to that rule is the Sonic the Hedgehog.
That was egregiously bad.
It's true. But that's why I say, and maybe it's because I don't know the character well enough, that's why I say if you can do two Silver Surfers, if you're able to do that, bring them both in, because then it's just like, then you can give the middle finger and go, I don't care because she's wonderful. I'm so happy she's in the MCU. She was like one of my favorite characters on Ozark. Mm-hmm. She's great. And I love seeing her in other stuff. And every time she's very versatile,
Incredible in inventing Anna. She's the reason she won an Emmy.
She's great.
She was fantastic.
She's really good. So anyway, I'm sure no one's commenting.
None. There's no comments. Silence.
I want to see the conversation. And I challenge you in the comments to try to actually debate it and have a good conversation.
To show some class, if you will.
Show a little.
Just a little. And also, if you're that invested in alien genitalia, maybe think about yourself. You got the UAP phenomenon. How much probing have you done?
That's right.
And been done.
That's absolutely right. And speaking of which, go to Down to Earth with Christian Harlan if you can see UAP news every day. All right, before we move on, because we have stuff to move on to, let's get to two of our wonderful sponsors. I'm so excited. You see this thing. I've been wearing this. I wear this all the time now. I love Vessie. And Mack Weldon, the both of them. A great, I even have my Vessi shoes on. These things just like slip on. They're wonderful. I love these things. All right, shut up, mate. Tell me about it. More about Mack Weldon and Vessi. There you go. Vessi. So, John, I got these new shoes. And they have it's rain wear. It's really, really, it's incredible. I love, they sent it to me a while ago, but I'm so excited to tell them about them. I want to tell you that Vessi has this innovative, it's like footwear and it's designed for spring weather. It's great. So Stormburst Vessis are the ones that I really want to kind of emphasize. And they're your go-to for every setting, city streets to outdoor adventures, enhancing your style and activity with ease. So you can, whether it's snowy trails, wet streets, morning dew walk. So whether you're facing unexpected snow or slippery paths, it's so crucial in general to have these. I'm planning a move. I've talked about this, but it's been raining a lot in LA and I've been wearing my Vessis everywhere. And I have, and you guys seen it. I've been wearing the one hoodie that I have that they sent me. I love it. It's one of my favorite things. I love these hoodies. I've worn it on in so many different videos. They have all weather, all occasion footwear from beach days to snowy commutes. They have so many different things. You should elevate your spring wardrobe when you travel with Vessi's Stormburst shoes. You can discover more at vessi.com/bigthing. Get your pair today and get an automatic 15% off your first purchase at checkout and be ready to step out into style. It is great stuff. I love Vessi. I really, really enjoy Vessi. Let me tell you about Mack Weldon. Okay, so Mack Weldon, in general, it is a really, really wonderful company. Because a lot of times you want something both ways, right? Me, you know that I lost weight, but I can't lose weight and keep firing down pizza. Can't do it. Because we always think that looking sharp means that you got to have the starchy, the Oxfords and the stiff chinos rather than the effortless comfort. It is possible to have it both ways. They have light as air underwear to innovative anti-odor tees and versatile yet comfortable pants. It is so great what Mack Weldon is doing. They have a full range of clothes. And I'm telling you, Florian, browse this site. You're going to lose your minds. It's the best. I'm always looking for the essentials in just like socks and underwear. And man, I got it. But then he sent me these pants. I have the t-shirts are so smooth. I wear them I'm just comfortably around the house, but I can also, if I'm going, I put on like a suit jacket the other day and I put it on with it. And then the pants fit perfectly. And I had some really comfortable sweatpants. Oh, really great. Okay. Now peacocking. You guys are peacocking. That's for the birds. Now some guys, you just want to go out there. You want to look good without calling attention to yourselves. Mack Weldon apparel gives you understated good looks for understated confidence. It's not flashy, just classic, always in style and made from the world's most comfortable performance materials. What that means, usually the performance fabric usually means that clothes that look or feel techy or shiny, while these are designed to fit your style and demands of modern life. So I just I can't even tell you, like, this underwear is really comfortable. The sweatpants for me, I was wearing them the other day, and it just, like, I like ones that just feel like I could go out, whether I'm just walking the dog, but I don't feel like, oh my god, people are looking at me. What am I wearing right now? We're just walking around the house in this, but it's stylish, man. Love it. Get timeless looks with modern comfort from Mack Weldon. But you got to go to MackWeldon.com. You can get 20% off, which is pretty great, off your first order, but you got to use that code Big Thing. So head on over to MackWeldon.com and use that code Big Thing. All right. Thank you to Mack Weldon Investing. I tell you guys, what was awesome was that I was in Burbank, and this guy came up to me, Jason, and he was like a big fan of the show and everything too. And he's like, you don't shut up about the sponsors, and you say that we can support the show, and I love your show. So I went and I got some Vessi, and I'll tell you, I love them.
It worked.
So he loves it, and so be like Jason. If you want to support the show,
I want to be like Jason.
Yes, if you want to support the show, and you can support the show, please go and look at the links in the description, pinned comment, right there. Okay. Let's move on. We got some more news here, and this is a big one. So let's talk about Supergirl, Cruella, and iTonya filmmaker Greg Gillespie has begun talking to direct the live-action Supergirl film adaptation at Warner Brothers. The project is aiming to begin filming this fall and will mark the first of the new DC Universe projects to film after work wraps on James Gunn's currently shooting Superman film later this summer. House of the Dragon breakout Millie Alcock won the role of Supergirl and is expected to appear in another DC project before making her debut in Supergirl. The film will be based on Tom King's 2022 comic book series Supergirl, Woman of Tomorrow. And Gunn previously described the film, thus Supergirl was raised on a rock, a chip off Krypton, and watched everyone around her die and be killed in terrible ways for the first 14 years of her life, then came to Earth when she was a young girl. She's much more hardcore. She's not exactly the Supergirl that we're used to seeing. So, now, this is kind of my earlier point, right? It's like people are going to complain on the internet no matter what. And they're like, so the guy who did Cruella, and then the guy who did The Flash, and then the guy who did Indiana Jones doing DC movies. And my friend DJ Woolridge had a great response. Or you could say the guy who did Logan, the guy who did It, and the guy who did iTonya. So,
which two things? First of all, I actually love this director choice because, A, if you actually saw Cruella,
it's really good. I like
a fantastic job.
Yeah.
Not just with the world building. You're talking about two movies in iTonya and Cruella of complex women that have been through some dark ish and have become very complex, dark people that are just trying to figure their stuff out. If that's the description of the Supergirl that we're dealing with, she watched her family die in gruesome ways for 14 years and has to show up to Earth and try and be human and let Clark somehow guide her to not be a psycho. Bro, he sounds like the perfect person
Perfect. And look, on the flip side of that, too, I also saw some people going, how come you don't have a woman directing it? Because he might have had the best take.
Say the same thing about Julia Garner then, right? Like, I think it's the same exact thing. Like, if a man can direct a woman movie, then a woman should be able to play a man part. Like, it doesn't matter.
It goes back to our point of what is the story.
Right.
So, yeah, and it's all about the take, right? As you just said, I think very well. As we go back to that conversation about Garner, was the audition so great that played into that story that makes the most sense? Was his take the best take out of the people that they wanted to talk about in the movie, and that's why he got the role?
Now, that, to be honest with you, is another thing that could have very easily happened with a Silver Surfer. They did an open casting call. We don't care about gender. We don't care about race because it's an alien. We just want to see who's.
It seemed like they were going with Anya Taylor-Joy. It seemed like they were going for that role.
It does definitely.
But we should also point out that Anya Taylor-Joy and Julia Garner are very much Sue Storm types. They probably all auditioned for Sue and then got put in. I would argue, as especially with Marvel casts by having you come in and read for something and then get put like Chadwick Boseman read for Drax. Loki.
I mean, Tom Hiddleston
for Drax?
Yeah, dude.
What?
If you watch the audition, Chadwick Boseman knew it was going to be Black Panther, so he does Drax with an African accent. Like, he literally was, like, playing the long game. He was playing chess. But that's the thing, is, like, you got to look at what you're doing in casting. Yeah. If you're going to go in with a really specific take, I love that Anya Taylor-Joy, Julia Garner, and Kirby all have a similar vibe to each other-ish, and one of them got to be Sue Storm, but they all a Sue Storm type, sure. And then the other one was rumored for Silver Surfer, and it sounds like one got it. So I don't think the way they cast is as linear as a lot of other people, sure. And that's why we get some bold choices. But if we're going to be...
Well, what about Gillespie, though, as far as his directing?
I think Gillespie, if you look at his directing, you've got Cruella, which is incredible acting, but also incredible world building. Mm-hmm. The world of Woman of Tomorrow is very Star Wars, very bright and lush in colors, but also a really dark story like both Cruella and Itania. And you also look at Dumb Money. Dumb Money is so slept
on. Good movie.
He did Dumb Money last year.
Dumb Money's so good. Dumb Money's awesome.
And Dumb Money is a great ensemble, and it's really informative.
I didn't realize
in a way.
He directed that.
Dude, Craig Gillespie's a fantastic. He's one of those directors you're like, oh my God, look at this resume.
Oh, yeah.
He also did three of the best episodes of the Pam and Tommy Show. He's a great director.
I was on board just for Itania.
And for Cruella.
Yeah. Now I'm even more.
All the pieces add up.
What a great resume.
Dumb Money is such a great way to tell a story that is absurdist and shouldn't be real, but is.
That movie's awesome.
World building with Cruella and then directing in Itonia. Sebastian Sand, some of his best work in both of those things, yes. Pam and Tommy in this. So I just think we should look at.
And in Dumb Money.
Yeah.
As you're saying also. Okay,
like So what we should acknowledge, though, is since these are two headlines.
That makes sense.
If you're upset about a woman playing a man and you're upset about a man directing a female-led movie, maybe just let people do what they should do. Right. Like, someone last week got mad at me for suggesting that Greta Gerwig direct an Avengers movie.
Yeah, dude, that was the wildest discourse.
And then I just came back with... And then that guy got mad at me for defending it. Anyway,
but I also think that there's... But you're right. But I also think that it's okay. It's all in presentation, right? I think you can have... Because like we did today on this show, you can have questions and concerns. As I said, and I stand by it, and you're not thinking that I'm hating on the fact that she was cast as
a woman. I think you hate women.
You're right.
How's your wife?
This is exactly. And as I said to you, as my two daughters, right? What I'm saying is, you know, I'm going to look at that movie, and I'm going to go, at the end of that story, I'm going to go, that was the right choice. Or, in my opinion, it was the wrong choice.
I think.
And there's someone else that's sitting next to me. If I feel that it's the wrong choice, they very well could go, no, that was the right choice, and I was against it in the first place. So this is the whole point of subjective.
Robert Pattinson. Take it outside of gender completely.
Michael Keaton.
We had a whole debate.
There was
a whole thing.
You could do it about Heath Ledger because everybody did it about the Joker, but specifically the Robert Pattinson on Collider Live, he was like, no, this is a perfect casting. And I was like, no, it's not. And he goes, go watch this and this, and you come back and tell me. And I watched only one of them because it's the only one I could find, and I was like, it was good time.
Yeah, and I said, watch Rover.
You gave me both.
Yeah.
And I was like, that's the only one I could find. And he crushed it, and I was like, okay, I'm opening this now. This guy actually got some chops, and then look what he did.
Right. But here's the difference. You got to be open-minded as you were. Now, there are a lot of, and this is why I'm saying it's a blanket statement sometimes to just say for people who are complaining that they're like, you know, just like trolls. Because there's a lot of trolls, and there's a lot of people who are just going to hate no matter what. Why is this a woman? Sure. But then there's other people going, really, that's the choice they're going to go with? Is that the right choice right now? And it's fair to ask.
And those are three different things. It's really important to acknowledge that. Like, we all dealt with, like, I didn't love the Marvels, and people are still like, oh, this is misogynist. I'm pretty outspoken.
That's my point. You can't win.
And you can't categorize people because of one thing. And it's also, if you look at, like, Hurt Locker or Zero Dark Thirty, like, directed by a woman, those are very masculine films. You look at Itonia, like, I didn't know that was directed by a man or woman. I didn't care. So let the story be the story.
Yeah.
And I think we should stop focusing on all the pre-production drama and let the movie exists first. That said, I understand in this case where you're both saying Marvel's taking a lot of blows. It's a tricky time to announce something that feels like a swing.
We are in the Superman story, the Supergirl story.
Craig Gillespie, I'm putting it all as one.
Well, yeah, I think there's less drama with Craig Gillespie. With the resume that Craig has, give me a real reason that you think this is a terrible choice. And just from the standpoint of, well, you're not having a woman lead. Like, again, you already mentioned another situation. He's already twice had female-led movies that he has crushed.
Right.
But I think about stuff like Alien, for example, and Aliens. Like, obviously, read by Ripley, but you're sitting here dealing with two of the greatest directors.
Earlier point, right, of the, like, don't force it just to force it. Like, if you go in there, if Patty Jenkins goes in and pitches a Supergirl story, and it's better than Greg Gillespie's.
And by the way,
I'm saying there's
theoretical.
She wasn't in it. It's theoretical. Yeah. But if she goes in there and she pitches and she's got the better story, then you put Patty Jenkins in there. She's done Wonder Woman. That makes sense. But you don't just go, well, her story wasn't as good, and we have to, I don't really like it that much, but she's a woman, and a woman should be directing Supergirl. And they didn't do that here, you know, and I'm sure, and they should have, what they should have done is definitely not just met with dudes. They should have met with everybody.
Absolutely.
Which I'm sure that they should.
I'm sure they did.
And then that's how you come across this thing.
Well, so, I like that Gunn isn't taking the pressure of the 2024 of it all. Because I do think that the DCU is shaping up really strong with Mangold, Muschietti, Gillespie, and Gunn as the first four directors we know about. That's a murderer's row of current talent.
I think the other thing that's so interesting, and it's only because we're further into this social media age than we've been in a long time, I don't know any other business where you're allowed to just be out here in these streets to just, you have to just be like, oh, and this is what's happening before it happens. And they go, that's a terrible plan.
Right. You haven't seen anything.
And now we almost have to get to the point where it's like, okay, guys, so we brought in these 20 directors.
Right.
And then in round two, we got it down to these five. Right. And we went with
Koi. You got to prove it.
Like, I have to prove to you that I did it. And that's kind of crazy to me. Come at me when you have proof that I have been screwing this up multiple times.
And, dude, the fact that their second movie, is a female-led superhero movie. It's Supergirl.
And a script from a comic that didn't sell incredibly well. Like, Woman of Tomorrow wasn't like The Dark Knight Rises. Like, it's not as... Sorry, like Dark Knight Returns. It's not like this formative change in comic books. It was a smaller title that was, like, kind of independently beloved. So I love that they're making the story they want to make. They're not going, like, let's tell the Supergirl story. They're like, we like this one.
I love that. And
like, that's special.
That gives me confidence. This is why I think you said this a year and a half ago, that... if shaped up and done well, DC is going to overtake what Marvel's doing. And right now, this is the time to strike. Mm-hmm. If you're DC, this is the time to strike because Marvel is still, it's still making money. Let's not forget about that. It's still making money, but it's in that kind of like, we just had the whole conversation just now where you have the audience kind of like this, like feeling almost like what Star Wars was a couple of years ago. And now DC is like,
wasn't that Rocky III? You got to take the blows for a minute and then go. Like the minute he's showing he's tired, start swinging, and feels like that's what's happening.
And
right
then
now.
I think it's gonna make DC is gonna make Marvel better, like in Rocky IV. Like I think Marvel is gonna come back stronger because DC is gonna be the top dog.
I'll go wrestling. That and you'll understand this because you watched back in the day. So this right now is DC. Can be the WCW.
When they did the merge?
Before the merge. Monday Night Nitro, when WWF was the thing.
Yeah.
Nobody was touching WWF, and WCW said, oh, you got a bunch of the old dogs. We're going to steal the old dogs, and we're going to make our own thing. And they overtook the WWF in ratings. And then, because of what you just said, then it was like, well, no, then we're going to come. So Stone Cold and The Rock started doing their thing, and it was like...
And then they're both fun to watch again.
That's exactly what it was. That was the most fun time to watch wrestling.
Dude, it was so good.
And then Amalgam Universe. I do think at some point we're getting DC Marvel together. I do think
point
in the next...
That's crazy.
Not soon, but I'd say within...
DCEU's on Disney Plus right now.
I'd say within 7 and 10 years, I think we'll see a crossover with James Gunn being comfortable at both, with the writers. There's not the gang war that people on the internet think there is. Like, they just did a reprint of DC and Marvel crossover comics last month. They just... Both companies want that money, and if both companies are looking at the what's bigger than Avengers 5?
I don't know.
Justice League and Avengers.
I just can never see those two studios come to an agreement of who gets more.
I think Warner Brothers might not make, like, depending on how the next few years go, they might need it.
Warner Brothers had a pretty good March, man.
I mean, yeah, I'm not doom and glooming Warner Brothers.
March was Dune and Kong and Godzilla.
Yeah, I think Warner Brothers.
Where's Dune at? So it sounds like you might have lost your bet, right? I thought you said it was going to hit a bill. It was 750.
I didn't have a bet on Dune. I had a bet on Daredevil on Deadpool.
Billion with Roker, right?
Yeah, Roker.
I thought you had
Roker wanted to make a bet. Roker started to say, he's like, "Oh, we had a bet on Dune. It's going to make a billion." And I said, "There's no way Dune makes a billion. They'd be lucky if he made 6 to 7." Yeah,
I don't think Warner Brothers is in the trouble they were 2 years ago. I don't think that Warner Brothers is going to be like going out of business. But I do think Warner Brothers is going to see like the opportunity for the giant King Kong size win.
I think Zaslav would make that deal. More so than Iger would make that deal, but who knows down the line, because Warner Brothers needs DC would need Marvel right now, the brand, take it easy, everybody, as far as like, you know, the company, the studio rather. Warner Brothers would need Disney more than Disney would be Warner Brothers today. Mm-hmm. Now, who knows what that's going to be like, because even though they had a terrible year last year, Disney.
I thought you were about to say Warner Brothers.
No.
I was like, Barbie?
No, last year, Disney had a horrible year last year. they were still the number two studio.
With a bad year for
with
them.
With a bad year. They were number two.
Yeah.
So that, because they just have, they own everything.
Jesus, yeah. That's
isn't that crazy? That, when they lose, they're number two.
I know y'all hate sports. That's the Kansas City Chiefs all over again. That was a terrible season, and they won the damn Super Bowl.
Also, shout out to Universal. They're number one because they're taking really weird swings. Like, a lot of Universal, like, Universal got last year, obviously, hugely because of Oppenheimer, but, like, they made Cocaine Bear, which cost nothing and made a ton of money. They got Monkey Man coming out, which cost them $10 million, and it's going to make way more than that just opening weekend. Like, I like that Universal seems like the studio that's going, like, what's the filmmaker movie right now?
Right.
And that got them number one. I think that's really looking at where the audience is.
Yeah. All right. So what do you guys say? You got all this conversation. We got Gillespie. You have, the Silver Surfer casting. All that and more. Okay. So let me do this. Before we move on, I want to tell you real quick about Rhone and Nutrafol. Here you go. All right. I love getting you guys good deals, and I got it. Rhone. There's so much pain in trying to find what to wear, whether it's uncomfortable, it's tight, it's never your size, there's difficulty putting pieces together when all the fabrics are different textures. I know it happens to me all the time. You want to look good without having to think about it. Well, that's where Rhone comes in. They stepped up to the challenge, everybody. They got the commuter collection. It's comfortable, it's breathable, and it's a versatile set of products known to man. They have products for every occasion, whether it's the most comfortable pants, dress shirts, quarter zips, polos, blazers. They look great as individual pieces, and they work seamlessly together. Rhone's signature four-way stretch fabric, it's breathable, it's flexible, and it works everywhere from your commute to work to the 19th hole. It's time for unparalleled confidence without all the hassle. Rhone's commuter collection features wrinkle release technology, and it is 100% machine washable, looking good. Is that easy? I'm telling you, I love this. They sent me some of this stuff, guys. And I, first of all, they have the kind of just relaxing casual stuff, but I needed a good pair of pants to go with my suit. And my goodness, I got some for me. I got some for Riley. We're looking slick. It is so great. The commuter collection is easy to care for also, by the way, and it stays fresh and it's odor free. Just head over to rhone.com/bigthing. Use that promo code bigthing. Save 20% off your entire order. That's 20% off your entire order when you head to rhone.com/bigthing. Use that code bigthing. It's time to find your corner office comfort. Don't be embarrassed. Don't do it. Listen, did you know that 80% of men will experience hair thinning in their lifetime? It's normal, guys. But it doesn't have to be your fate. You can get ahead of thinning with Nutrafol. Nutrafol is the number one dermatologist recommended hair growth supplement clinically shown to improve your hair growth, visible thickness, and visible scalp coverage. Nutrafol's hair growth supplements use physician-formulated, natural, science-backed ingredients. Their drug-free, patented technology provides consistent, reliable results without compromising your sexual health. Go to Nutrafol.com/men to take their hair wellness quiz. Identify causes of your thinning hair, and Nutrafol will give you a personalized plan for better hair health through whole body wellness. It works. In a clinical study, 84% of men showed improvement in their hair after 6 months taking Nutrafol men's hair growth supplements. Everybody feels this way as you're getting older. You're like, oh man, am I the only one? This is why is this happening to me? This and that. We're in an age now where you can get it helped. You can get it fixed. Take the first step to visibly thicker, healthier hair. For a limited time, Nutrafol is offering our listeners $10 off your first month subscription and free shipping when you go to Nutrafol.com/men, but you have to enter that promo code BIGTHING. Find out why over 4,000 healthcare professionals recommend Nutrafol for healthier hair. Nutrafol.com/men. Nutrafol.com/men. And enter that code BIGTHING. That's Nutrafol.com/men, promo code big thing. All right, thank you to our friends over at Rhone and Nutrafol. As I say each and every time, if you're able to and you can support the show, please consider one of our sponsors. And let's move on. This is another thing. This is very interesting. I had mentioned it before, Daredevil. Maybe it's a Freudian slip, but all right, anyway, Daredevil, they have some behind-the-scenes footage. Now, John Bernthal cast the picture. And at this stage, it's not exactly a secret that John Bernthal is going to reprise the role of Frank Castle, the Punisher for Daredevil, Born Again. Now the actor has officially made his return official with a new behind-the-scenes photo. There's a few of them that have popped out. Now, we've seen Bernthal suited up as the Punisher, And here you go. You see, there's a couple of different pictures here. This is on set. They seem to be teaming up, which is awesome. And this just, there's a few other pictures here too. And this is the other one. And then there was one more up top here. That's the one that John Bernthal posted. This is, to me, becoming, I was already pumped for this series, but I'm way more excited now because I think it's also fair to say, and you should do it, when, like, we've been hard on Marvel, you know, and we've said certain things, like, and rightfully so, I think, as you said beforehand, they're in a kind of a downslope, but you got to give them credit when credit is due. They looked at this show and they went, okay, so we are not pleasing the fans at the moment. We're just not. And it's not to that standard where we were. This show, as it stands right now, ain't it. Mm-mm. So let's stop this. People kept saying they want... Yeah, I thought it was such a mistake when they're like, we're not doing a continuation.
Yeah.
We're not doing a continuation. And then they go, it looks like they want a continuation.
Mm-hmm.
This looks like it. And John Bernthal even said as much, where he's like, I'm not going to come back to some like watered down version of it. This don't look like a watered down version of it. Winston, how are you feeling about this so far?
I mean, I'm here for it. I think that as much as everybody loved Charlie Cox, and as much as everybody loved Vincent D'Onofrio, I would make the argument that Bernthal was the one that people ultimately like stuck to their ribs. It doesn't mean that they're all not important and we didn't love every rendition of those characters, but I think especially once we got then into the Punisher series on his own, I think people really gravitated towards what he was doing. So I think it was a very smart move to bring him back into it. And again, I would much rather have to wait and you get it right than, you know, you had rushed out whatever it was and then you left like a horrible kind of taste in my mouth type situation, you know? Better the waiter come out and go, I'm so sorry, we burned your steak. We're going to do it all over again. You know, for the time being, here's the cocktail in the form of seeing Charlie Cox appear in Spider-Man and She-Hulk, and then we'll come back to it.
Coy, the thing is with this series, what I think we all agree that Echo didn't hit the way that people hoped it would. The trailer was better than the series itself. At least that's the way that I think a lot of people felt. I don't know how you felt about it.
I liked the show, and it did better numbers than some of the others, but I felt like it was a good bridge between Netflix and Disney. Like, it reminded us the flavor.
That's right. And that's kind of the point I was going to. The trailer itself, you're like, whoa, they're going to start doing this?
The trailer was full Netflix,
right.
And then the show ended up being like a mix, because I think the reshoots leaned more Netflix, and I think that's why it landed more like we wanted. But yeah, it still had some Disney Plus issues, but overall, I think it was a bridge. And honestly, like, I think the biggest thing for me is Debra Ann Wall being back.
Yeah.
Like Karen
too.
Page.
I love.
Well, because that was such a thing with the original, like, new Daredevil. Like, they didn't have Foggy and Karen back, and everyone was like, why?
Yeah.
So this image, like, John Bernthal, I feel like, has been all but said. But Karen, we were like, is because you don't really have the Matt Murdock side without Nelson and Karen.
Yeah.
And so this feels like it's season four because of that image, the image of all three of them. And I think that John Bernthal wouldn't have come back, like you said, to a watered down version,
right.
But I especially don't think the whole team would go like, this is our season four, unless they all agreed this is what they wanted to make.
This is also another Sonic the Hedgehog thing, by the way.
I was gonna say, like I said 20 minutes ago, the internet should be listened to at creative levels, but this is an exception. I do think this is something really
important.
But
that's not creative levels as much as it's, you gotta
listen to what the money, where the fans are.
You gotta listen to what the audience wants. Like, this is a simple example. Today, for this show, I said, here are the stories that we're going to be covering. What story do you think you guys are most interested in, and what should the thumbnail be? Because if the majority of the audience is going, that's the one that interests me, that's the one that I like, I go with that one.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's what the majority of people are going, yeah, that's the thing that I'm interested in seeing. So if you asked, in the same kind of example, what would you rather see? A Daredevil that's more in the lines of the tone of what we do with, say, She-Hulk, or the ones that we did for Netflix. And then it's overwhelming inside of Netflix. Why would you put your feet into the ground and go, we're doing the same tone?
You know what it is? There's a splitting of the difference here. Because I think about an anecdote as a child. I loved Star Wars, but I hated roller coasters and I hated rides. And so my mom took me to Disney World and she was trying to get me to go on Star Tours. And I was just like, nah! And I threw a full temper tantrum in the line, screaming, crying, snot bubble, all this. And they force me on the ride, and then we get off, and I'm still kind of crying. And she's like, "Well," and I was like, "Can we go again?"
Yeah,
and like,
right.
Sometimes you don't know.
He was 25.
This is Halloween Horror Nights.
I was 10. But my point is that sometimes the adult in the room, the person that's in charge, they know what they're doing. Yeah. And sometimes there have been points where you have to be like, "No, this is a hard boundary here," or "This is what I actually want. Stop telling me what I want." And I think what it is, it's reading the room.
Yes.
And I think in this case, they read the room and they go, "You know what? You're right. I'm sorry about that. Let's retool this."
I think you need to find a safe place where it's not made by committee, which is, I think, a problem at times. Mm-hmm. But also, you've got to create a vision where you're trusting the creators you hired for a reason. And that's why I think the internet's so tricky, because Robert Pattinson would not be Batman if we listened to the internet. Michael Keaton wouldn't be Batman if we listened to letters. Yeah. Like, you know what I mean?
Ledger would have been the Joker.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. It's like, we got to know where that line is. So I think that I can be right and wrong on this.
Yeah. All right. So much to talk about. Make sure you throw a comment in. We're going to lose Koi in a second, so I want to cover this last thing here, too. This is interesting. The X-Men, Marvel Studios reboot, it could start shooting sooner than anyone expected. This is comic book movie from Josh Wallin. With X-Men 97 getting fans psyched for mutants all over again, a new report is now claiming that Marvel Studios' live-action X-Men reboot could begin production even sooner than we expected. Under former Disney's CEOs Bob Chapek's watch, Marvel Studios began producing a seemingly endless stream of content, from movies to TV shows to special presentations. It started to feel like every character was given a new spotlight. Iger's back in charge, and after some pricey streaming series and a handful of box office disappointments, Marvel Studios has returned to focusing on quality over quantity. However, that means some characters and franchises are going to be sidelined, likely in preference for those that can produce guaranteed wins. When you stop and think about it, it's crazy that 5 years have passed since the last Avengers movie. Could that explain the latest X-Men update? According to Production Weekly, the plan is now for Marvel's reboot to begin production in late 2025. This suggests that the new X-Men movie will be with us quite sooner than expected, though we'd caution that nothing is confirmed as we write this. The publication also claims that Shang-Chi 2 will start production next March, with Armor Wars scheduled for 2024. Interesting, it appears cameras could start rolling on Vision Quest later this year. Back to X-Men, though. And rather than waiting until a year or two after Avengers Secret War concludes the multiverse saga, it would be wise for Marvel Studios to get on with rebooting those mutants and launch several new franchises in the process. Wolverine, X-Force, and more eventually could join the X-Men movie. There's the return of the animated series this year, which we're very excited about. I saw some new final episodes today, which brings back that core of who the X-Men are and that soap opera that the characters represent. Part of the fun is that I've been at this company for half my life, and we're just now tapping into arguably one of the biggest aspects of the publishing history. It's pretty remarkable, and it's a testament to the house of ideas and what Marvel Publishing has done these 80 years. The question is, how do we do it? When do we do it? And that's something we've been working on for years. I will tell you that I believe this report. I believe it. I think that it makes sense. I think going back to business-wise, I do think the X-Men 97, when I was watching that with you, man, I'm going, oh, yeah, I really love the X-Men. I wasn't a big fan. I didn't watch the animated series, but I loved what I saw.
The simple fact, because I was joking with you that you're now in your old man era, mm-hmm. and that like every time people would scream, you're like, shut the fuck.
Yeah, I wanted to listen,
but which is fine. But if you notice, I think we've been to a lot of these things, and it doesn't mean that there haven't been people hype. I don't feel like I have personally been in a room for any that has been, people have been that swept up, with the exception of being in the movie theater for the night the first Avengers came out, and then being in the movie theater for both Infinity War and Endgame. Those are the only times where I felt people have been that rabid of what they were watching, and I think they have seen the discourse that has come out of X-Men in a couple weeks
ago. It's their saving grace.
Figure it out right now.
I also think that Kevin Feige, and I have nothing to back this up except for my own theory. I don't know this for a fact, but I do think that Kevin Feige's been putting a lot of his energy into the X-Men and not the other things that we might not be liking as much. I mean, obviously the spread thin because of show running and also
like the majority.
Like, yeah, I feel like, I mean, listen to that quote. He talks about like how much they've been wanting X-Men, how much he loves X-Men. He's been at this company half his life. He's been waiting for X-Men. Well, I mean, Kevin Feige started on X-Men. He's the one that got Hugh Jackman his accurate hair.
He knows
like, as a young man, he was invested in the movie version. Now it's his. I think that's where he's been.
He knows it's the future. It is the future. It is the way
mutants are our future.
Yes, we've talked about it on this show. After, I mean, you can have a movie that comes out before the next Avengers movie to get everybody hyped up, and then it leads into the movie, which even would give you even more of the kashish. And then once it's over, really just start leading with the X-Men, and that's your future. We've been talking about that forever. Mm-hmm. People love these characters, and they were we used to get so bummed when the Fox movie started to get shitty.
Mm-hmm. And how lucky are we were leading from X-Men 97 into Deadpool with X-Men in it.
Right.
Like, what a great, like, right. This year is going to really remind everybody. Because I remember we were talking about X-Men 97 coming out on the show, mm-hmm. and the show hadn't aired yet, and you hadn't seen the originals. And I remember we were just saying the word X-Men, and you were like, I just want to talk about X-Men. And it didn't exist yet. Right. That's how big this can be.
It is, and you're right, though, because that's... X-Men 97 proved that people are hyped up about it. Mm-hmm. Deadpool's going to make people lose their minds on it. Mm-hmm. They're going to make people lose their minds. And especially all the different variants and everything that you're going to see inside of the X-Men, different Wolverines, and who else is going to show up. Gambit's going to show up.
Because if I'm not mistaken, that the main reason Disney decided to go by Fox was to get the X-Men.
Like, Fantastic Four.
Fantastic mm-hmm. Four was there too, but hardcore on X-Men. Yes. They're like, you guys are screwing this up. We needed this anyway for some stuff we wanted to do.
And Deadpool.
Buy the whole studio. Buy it. I don't know how we do it, but do it.
Yeah, I agree with. I think this report is absolutely accurate. I think that I think it is a smart move for them to start putting everything towards it. If I'm Iger, I'm going stop productions on nonsense. Go after the X-Men. All right, what say you guys? Do you think we're getting X-Men sooner than later? Put your comments in there. Tell us exactly what you think. If you're brand new to the channel, subscribe to it, man. Help us out. I'd like to thank Coy and Winston for being on the show today. Winston, where can I find you?
You can find me at the Swaggy Blurred on all the platforms. I've been really, really pushing my YouTube right now. I've been putting content out, so go see my X-Men 97 reviews now that we speak about it, and my Breakfast AM News stuff on Instagram and TikTok.
I've been heavily doing YouTube as well. I just launched my comic book show over there where I'm going to be doing reviews of my top comics, the news in comic books themselves, and previews of that week's comic books. If you want to get into comics especially, check out my YouTube. Launching a movie version of that really soon, but I just passed 22,000 subscribers this morning. So trying to hit 25K past 22, really happy about it. My name at YouTube, Coy Jandro. Thank you.
Very easy, very simple to do. Make sure you check out the guys and support them over there. And you want to support this show, like I said, our sponsors, linked in the first comment, linked in the description below. That's how you can help out. So thank you for being with us today. For Coy and Winston and myself, see you later. Don't forget about our WrestleMania preview special tomorrow. It's me and Chris Van Vliet and special guest Kathy Kelly. So check us out. All right.
Magneto was right.
I was like, I just snuck that in there.